Today I will be reading Philippians 4:14 through 20. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel when I sent out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be accredited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.
I love watching NBA games, and for a growing number of NBA players, the post-game highlight of any road trip across the Midwest part of the United States is not a restaurant or a bar. It's a hug and an encouragement and homemade cookies, courtesy of Diane Simon. Diane is 64 years old. She is a native of Cleveland, and she manages a local AT&T branch. She's also a big fan of the National Basketball Association. She loves to meet people and she loves to give back. And so what she does is she greets players in the loading docks of NBA arenas to provide them with encouragement and cookies. And so this is all free of charge. She's called the Cookie Mom by the Memphis Grizzlies. And you know what's interesting about Diane is that she used to babysit for members of the Cleveland Cavaliers, which is an interesting thought, isn't it? After moving on to other teams, those players would request her cookies as visitors, and her reputation spread to the next generation of players. By the end of the bus ride, we were on the bus for like 20 minutes, and Josh finished his whole box of cookies in those quick minutes. He was like, her cookies are the bomb. She does that every time. And Diane's philosophy is very simple. Everyone likes a cookie. I wanted them to know that there was something there, someone there who would do something for them without asking for anything. Now, Diane Simon reminds us of the Philippians. They were very good at sharing generously with the Apostle Paul. And so he writes in verses 14 and 15 of chapter 4, "It was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only." So the Philippian believers stand out in Paul's thinking as people who were very generous. Now, back in verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul told the Philippians to not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So there is an emphasis in the book of Philippians and in this fourth chapter for you and I to be thankful. It takes away all the other thoughts in our mind if we can focus on the things that God is doing in our lives and the blessings that people are bringing to us. This is not easy for some people. Some people struggle with thanksgiving. So what should you do if thanksgiving is hard for you? Well, it was Richard Baxter who said, "Resolve to spend most of your time in thanksgiving and praising God. If you cannot do it with the joy that you should, do it as you can. Doing it as you can is the way to be able to do it better. Thanksgiving stirs up thankfulness in the heart. And so just practice it. Keep doing it until your heart is joined with your words. Now, the Philippians shared in Paul's need by sharing a gift to help. You don't have to be rich to do this. When Jesus pointed out the widow giving her two small copper coins at the temple treasury, he said to those gathered around him, "This poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." So what was the widow doing? She was sharing, and she was trusting in God that God would take care of her. So she was poor, but there are people in this world who are very rich. And so the Apostle Paul felt led by the Holy Spirit to communicate with Timothy how to minister to wealthy people. He said, "Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share." So you can be rich in material things and in good deeds, but you don't have to be material rich to be rich in good deeds. Because what are you sharing? You're sharing what you have. Now, the Apostle Paul continues in his writing to the Philippians in verse 18 by saying, "I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent." This delegate of the Philippian church, Epaphroditus, brought monetary gifts from the Philippians to the Apostle Paul while he was in prison. Paul was grateful, and Paul was content. Giving to God through others should make us content, should cause us to be happy. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, "Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." One of the things that you should be doing when the plates are passed is smiling. That reflects how cheerful you are in the giving of this gift unto God. Something interesting happened last year at a routine traffic stop. A 5-year-old child by the name of Mackenzie Brown gave up her stuffed moose to a Pennsylvania police officer. And what her hope was is that it would keep him safe. So I want you to picture this 5-year-old child, Mackenzie Brown, and she's leaning out of the window of her car, holding a stuffed moose, trying to give it to a police officer. The police officer said on his Facebook page, created on behalf of the moose, "I tried to politely say no thank you, but was told by this young lady that she wanted me to have him so he could keep me safe." Clearly, there was no way to say no to that. The officer held on to Mr. Moosey for a short time, but then he decided to pass him along, this stuffed animal, to different first responder units. It was a hit. Recently, reporters following up on the story discovered that the moose, Mr. Moosey, has made visits to Chicago, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, and New Hampshire, serving alongside air marshals, the National Guard, fire departments, and even the New York Police Department Intel Terrorism Office. This Facebook page, Mr. Moosey's World Tour, is updated regularly with stories of what impact the presence of the moose has had on different parts of the country. Dear friends, Mackenzie gave from her heart. And then the gift kept on going. And that's how we're to give. We're to give from the heart. And God loves a cheerful giver. You may not know how much you're giving to God, but I wanted you to be aware of a note that I received this week from the Gideons. They went to the post office and found a check from Mount Washington Baptist Church for $800. And what they said in their Thanksgiving note is, this would buy 160 full-size Bibles or 640 New Testaments. So I want you to picture for a moment what your gifts to God have been doing in the world. You have been able from your heart to share with others the Word of God, which is an amazing thought, isn't it? It says in verse 18 of Philippians 4 that these gifts are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. A few moments ago, we received an offering. Plates were passed and gifts were placed in them. There is something that God wants you to know about what you did a few minutes ago. You were not giving to a budget. You were giving to God. In the Old Testament, gifts that were received were referred to as sacrifices. Whether it was a burnt offering or a grain offering or a fellowship offering or a sin offering, the gifts given to God came from the material resources of the Israelites. That was their money. It was an agrarian culture. They did not write checks, did they? They did not pay with things electronically. Crops were their money. In Malachi chapter 3, God said, "Bring me the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not enough room to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe." Now, some people in Israel got it, and some did not. And it's the same way today. Not everyone is making fragrant offerings, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. But this is the time for us to reflect and to think and to get straight in our minds what it is that God wants us to do. It was Billy Graham who once said, if a person gets his attitude toward money straight, it will help straighten out almost every other area in his life. God wants all of us to give. And giving financially is a good place to start, but we don't want it to end there. It's not just about giving money, is it? We're to be giving our entire lives to the Lord. And so we read in Romans 12, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." An animal like a sheep or a goat could only be offered once. But as living sacrifices, we're offering ourselves every single day to our God. The Lord makes a promise to us in verse 19 of Philippians 4. "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Sometimes we're unaware of all that we have, aren't we? Sometimes we think we don't have as much as we should have, and we're unhappy, and we're frustrated. And sometimes we talk to God about that and said, "God, you're letting me down." And God wants you to know he's not letting you down. Sometimes we're simply unaware of what God is doing. He helps me breathe. He gives me this new day. You know, I read about a woman who was living in poverty, and she was visited by a young man from her church. He wanted to be of help. So as he sat with her, he asked her about her family. And what she said was that she had a son who was doing quite well living in Australia. And so this young man asked her this very important question, does he ever send you any money? And she said, no, but he writes me letters and sends me pictures. And so he said, may I see some of the pictures? And so she pulled out several cards and notes that she had received from her son, and then pulled out the pictures and showed them to this young man. Now, the interesting thing about the pictures are they were currency, Australian currency. He had sent her thousands of dollars. She was so much wealthier than she ever realized. You know, dear friends, sometimes we do not realize how much God has given to us. We are so much wealthier than we ever imagined we would be. And so in this season of Thanksgiving, we need to be grateful to God. If you continue to be generous toward God, God will take care of you. That's his promise in verse 19. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That's his promise. And so that's our sacrifice. May we pray. Lord, how grateful we are that you have given to us everything that we need. How grateful we are, Father God, that you have reminded us in this season of the year of the blessings of family, of our homes, of the clothing that we wear, and every breath that we take. It all comes from your hand. And so, Lord, we know that you're meeting all of our needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. We thank you and we praise you for all that is beautiful in our life, for your goodness toward us. This day and in all the days to come, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our concluding hymn is number 560, stanzas 1, 3, and 5, For the Beauty of the Earth. If you have a need for prayer, we invite you to come to the front, and a deacon or deaconess will pray with you. If you've come to the place in your spiritual life where you want to make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, we also invite you to come to the front, and we will pray for you to ask Christ to come into your heart. May we stand and sing together, For the Beauty of the Earth.